searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of a Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
The primary subject of the lesson on this morning is deliverance. When a person is delivered, it suggests a number of things, but I just want to deal with a few meanings on this morning. First of all, when a person is delivered, it says that they are made free from bondage. They're made free from bondage. Something has got a hold to that person, and they're not functioning properly. They're oppressed. They are in bondage. Not thinking, talking, or behaving the way they should. That is a sign that that person needs deliverance because they're in bondage. They're being held captive and not able to enjoy life the way God desires them to enjoy life. And sometimes young people do get ensnared or in bondage. It's not going to be something that many of us readily admit, but there are young people, young adults, that either are or have been in bondage to something or somebody. Yeah. You just go into a panic attack when this particular person comes around. You're in bondage. You need to be delivered. Secondly, to be delivered is when someone, especially God, causes you to escape and make refuge or security. God, I need a way out of this. I need you to make a way or deliver me. You know what you're involved in is not right. And you want to get out, but it's hard to get out because you're in bondage. You're ensnared. If you're going to get out, you need the Lord to deliver you. Lord, I need you to make a way of escape from me. Sometimes it's easy to get into a thing, but it can be very difficult to get out of it on your own. And when you find yourself like that, that's a sign, man, I need some divine deliverance. I can't get my mind off of this thing. I can't stop doing this particular thing. You need God to make a way of escape for you. Let me pause right here and ask my audience, have you ever been in need of deliverance? And I'm going to tell you something. It's some things mama can't get you out of. Daddy can't deliver you from. Pastor can't deliver you from it on your own. You got to know who to get some deliverance. Google can't give you the answer. Social media can't find you the answer. Deliverance or salvation, young folk, is of the Lord. It comes through Jesus. And Jesus knew it so much, he preached it hard in his day when he was here on earth. I'm not going to go to it, but you need to make note. John 8:36, it says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. See, when Jesus deliver you, you're going to be sure enough delivered. The only way you go back to be entangled or ensnared or in bondage again is if you choose to. But when Jesus delivers you, you delivered. You don't go back to smoking when Jesus deliver you. Why? He will bring you out. You don't go back to hoeing when Jesus deliver you. No, he will bring you out. Why? Whom the Son makes free, they shall be free indeed. Truly, you're going to be truly delivered. And if some folk in here, you know you need some deliverance and you want that real deliverance. Oh, the Lord is talking to somebody this morning. The Bible says deliverance is near unto you. Deliverance is here on this morning. So let's look at what can the Lord deliver us from? Because I'm talking some good talk, right? So let's go a little bit further and look at what the Bible teaches and what young people need to know and understand about what our God can deliver us from. Because we don't just want to be talking good talk. We want to see it in the scripture. And some of you, you're going to have issues, and some of you do have issues in your life. You need to have the understanding that, look, no matter what I go through, the Lord can deliver me. So let's look at what can the Lord deliver us from. Y'all ready? All right. Let's go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And notice verse number 17. Oh, Lord, before I even read it, I know this is going to help somebody in the house. Look at the psalmist. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. Look at this. For they were too strong for me. Your God delivers from strong enemies. Strong enemies. That's who your God delivers you from. There are some things and people in life, if the truth be told, they're stronger than you. When you looked at it, when you heard about it, you didn't think it would be that strong until you got involved with it. Oh, that ain't nothing but vaping. That ain't nothing but weed. That ain't nothing but sex. You looked at your enemy and you did not think they had strength. You underestimated your enemy. But there are some enemies, young folk, when they get a hold to you, you will learn that this in truth was not your friend. This is something that hates you. This is somebody that is opposing your productivity. This is something that does not want you to be in the will of God. And it's strong, and it can get a hold to you. It can get a hold to you where you don't sleep. Get a hold to you to where you're not focused on your school or your job the way you should be. Get a hold to you to where you start stressing yourself out and start getting ulcers in your stomach. It can get a hold to you to where your hair start falling out and you're not even 45 yet. There are some strong enemies out here, and they're not waiting for you to get out of middle school. They're not waiting for you to get out of high school. If they can get a hold to you while you are young, they will ride your back all the way to your grave. There are some strong enemies out here. Strong enemies. You be looking at it, you be like, porn ain't nothing. It's a strong enemy. Weed have you smoking all the time, like you can't even live unless you hit some weed. A strong enemy. Let me tell you something, boy. A girl can put something on you and turn you out. A strong enemy. Oh, you see, the world will call it a habit. man, I just got this bad habit. No, you done got an enemy you done gave place to, and it can destroy your life. See, when it comes to enemies, young people, and adversaries, look, listen to what Peter revealed. He said, your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. Look, seeking whom he may or can devour. Enemies are not our friends. Sin is not our, it's not our friend. Lust is not our, it's not our friend. When it's out the will of God. It's powerful. That's what he means. These are some, there are some things in this world, they're just powerful. And you can't give place to them. You can't play around, young folk. You can't be like Eve, fellowshipping with the serpent, thinking that the serpent is your friend. Y'all remember the story of Adam, Eve, and the serpent? Eve messing around. The serpent was her adversary, her enemy, but here she is allowing the enemy to get close to her. You can't play around. These enemies out here, young people, will mess you up. But what I love about the text is the psalmist says that the Lord can deliver us from our strong enemies. Woo! I said the Lord can deliver us. The Lord can help us to stop doing what we know we have no business doing. The Lord can stop that curse from taking place in our life. The Lord can deliver us from our strong enemies. All we got to do is look at David and Goliath. We know that Goliath was a champion. He was known for defeating people and armies back in his day. But it was the Lord that delivered him. And how many know God does not change? I said God does not change. He delivered from strong enemies back then, and he delivers from strong enemies right now. Whatever you're dealing with in your life that has seemingly got you all jacked up, the Lord can deliver you from it. God's arm, the Bible says, is not too short that it cannot save or deliver. God can bring us out from strong enemies. Boy, I thought y'all would be happy about that. I thought y'all would be clapping y'all hands saying, Lord, that's my word. I know you're listening, but when you get a word like that telling you that the Lord wants to deliver you from your strong enemy, somebody in here should have been happy about it. Strong enemies, when you look at Daniel in the lion's den, them lions was hungry. They was ready to feast on whatever came down into the den. But the Lord delivered Daniel from his strong enemy. Are y'all getting the picture? Whatever your enemies are in your life, and even though sometimes they may get the upper hand on you, your word this morning is, hey, they're not stronger than my God. The Lord can deliver me from my strong enemies. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And notice verse number 4. Psalm 34 and 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The Lord delivers not only from strong enemies, but he delivers from fears. You heard that powerful testimony. Fear tried to get into Minister Akilah's life, but she didn't let fear in. She knew the Lord would deliver her. Folk was being anxious. Folk was getting fearful. But she didn't give place to fear. She knew that the Lord would deliver her. But see, young folk, when you don't know the Lord will deliver you, fear will overtake you. Yeah, you'll get anxious, depressed. You'll start worrying about things that's bigger than you and you can't change anyway. Worry, your fears. Oh God, what's gonna happen to me? What's gonna happen to my loved ones? I heard so-and-so died from that. Oh God, I done got this car, done got this house, now I ain't gonna have no money to pay for it. Why are you fearing? Let the Lord deliver you from that. Because God did not give us the spirit of fear. You know why God didn't give us the spirit of fear? Because fear torments. Fear, young folk, can cause you to have a heart attack. 20-some years old, 30-some years old, why be hearing about folk having heart attacks? Fear's consuming them. No, God can deliver me. Unfortunately, some young people go through things in their youth sexually. Yeah. Somebody does something to them inappropriately. And after that particular event, they start getting paranoid. Somebody can try to hug them and they just start reflecting back on what happened to them when they were younger. Somebody reaches out and texts them or sees them at school and they start having panic attacks because they start thinking about what happened to them. You know the good news today? The Lord can deliver you from that. He can deliver you from all of your fears. Woo, that's some good news right there. You don't have to take no antidepressant pills. You don't have to go and see no psychologist that's going to have you to keep talking about that same dead event in your life unless you want to. No, the Lord can deliver you from all of your fears. He can deliver you. Man, God bless me with this job. Then you turn around and get laid off. That happened to me. I got blessed with a job. And then 2 weeks later, they came in and laid me off. I said, well, Lord, you told me to come here. You're going to have to provide. I said, I'm not going to give fear any place in my life. Now, it hadn't always been like that. I used to allow fear to torment me, have me all messed up to where I had ulcers in my stomach, young people. No. But I quickly learned that I don't have to fear. All I need to do is just look to the Lord for my deliverance. Tell somebody he delivers from all fears. Yeah, you don't have to worry about your career path. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen in your life. No. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, the steps may not unfold the way you desire them to be, but as long as you stay in the will of God, God is going to make sure that your life unfolds and you are productive in the end. No. We don't need to be anxious, worried, or depressed in life. And it can get a hold to you. Am I right about it? Yeah. You can be looking at social media, YouTube, and it seems like everybody got it going on but you. Everybody got a plan but you. No. Cut that stuff off and realize that the Lord is a deliverer. Am I right about it? All right, let's look at one more thing the Lord can deliver us from. Psalm 34. We wearing Psalm out, ain't we? Might well go to Psalm 34, 17. So what are the two things we learned the Lord can deliver us from? The Lord can deliver us from strong enemies. The Lord can deliver us from fears. And finally, verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. You can be living right, living by faith, but you still gonna have trouble. Respectable to your parents. You bring God his tithe and offering. You pray before you eat. You pray before you sleep. You give God the praise. That means you're righteous. You're living by faith. But guess what you still gonna have in life? You're gonna have trouble. Go ahead and pull up Joseph. Go ahead and pull up Job. Come on and pull up Paul, Peter, and others. Those were righteous men, but guess what? They had plenty of. They had trouble. Difficult problems. That's what trouble is. In one sense, it's a difficult problem. Lord, why am I trying to live for you and I got all these problems? That's a part of being righteous. That's a part of being righteous. Trouble, problems. But the good news is, young people, the Lord delivers the righteous from some of their trouble. Right? No. Don't shake your head. Yeah? What the scriptures say? He delivers them from all their trouble. You having problems with your kids? Guess what? The Lord gonna deliver you from that trouble. You having problems on the job? Guess what? The Lord going to deliver you from that trouble. You having problems with your own self? Y'all ever have problems with yourself? When self ain't acting right, you got to just deal with yourself sometime, right? Yeah. Guess what? The Lord can help deliver us from that trouble. Because I'll be the first to admit, I done got myself in plenty of trouble. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't nobody else. It was me. But I was so glad when I found out the Lord would deliver me from my trouble. But look at the secret in the verse. How does he deliver us from trouble, young folk? When we cry out to him. The righteous cry out, and the Lord what? Y'all guessing. I got the answer right here. The righteous do what? And the Lord? And then he delivers. You and I got to have a prayer life because trouble is a part of life. You better have a prayer life because trouble is a part of life. Lord, I got some trouble today. I need your help, Lord. You should expect him to deliver. Lord, I'm going through on the job. I'm striving to do right. I got some trouble. What should I do? He said if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he would direct our path. So when your path bumps or leads into trouble, that's when it's time to start crying out. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I asked you about this yesterday, and I still got this trouble. What you need me? Lord, I asked you about this 2 weeks ago, and trouble's still here. Now, you promised me, you heard me, and you would deliver. Now, I'm crying. I need you to hear, and I need you to deliver. That's how I got to be, young folk. When you bump into trouble, whether it's God-ordained trouble or you do some dumb stuff, start crying out. Y'all didn't like that. How many ever done some dumb stuff before? Man, I shouldn't have did that. Now you got trouble. Yeah, it's your fault. It's your fault. Just go ahead and repent. And get to crying out. That's what David did. He messed around and slept with Bathsheba. I mean, she was fine. You know, David, human. He slept with her and killed her husband. The prophet Nathan came up and said, what you done did was wrong. You gonna reap. Basically, he said, you gonna reap what you sow. You know what David did? He cried out, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent, forgive me. Now, he reaped it, but God still delivered him. And there's some of us in here, you got trouble in your life right now. You got trouble. Either you did it or God allowed it. Either way, we need to cry out, talk to God about it. He gonna hear, and then he gonna deliver. That's somebody rhema right there. Ain't no need of you tripping over the trouble because that's what happens to righteous folk. Righteous folk have trouble. The wonderful thing about trouble, young folk, is that trouble can work for our good. Yeah, trouble can make us wiser. Trouble can get us a testimony to where we can help somebody else. Isn't that what it's about right there? Isn't it about helping other people to be better? So when you face trouble, what's the solution in this verse? Cry out, then God gonna do what? He gonna hear, and then he gonna do what? Now, it ain't gonna happen that fast all the time, okay? But it's gonna happen, okay? So, what can the Lord deliver us from? strong enemies. Y'all sound good over here. All of our fears. Y'all need me to hold your hand? Come on. And in trouble. Let's try it again. What can the Lord deliver us from? Make it sound like a song. Ready, go. And that's it. How many of y'all got at least one of these? How many got two? Okay. How many got three? It don't matter. God can deliver from one, two, or three. Now, when we go back to our verse, young people, what's our main verse? In Psalm 22 and verse number four, the psalmist understands that the Lord delivers those who trust him. Deliverance is only going to happen if we trust him. So God's deliverance is contingent on what we do. If it's going to happen, he's going to do his part, but we have to do our part. If the Lord is going to deliver us from our strong enemies, our fears, trouble, we got to understand, like the psalmist, we got to trust him. Even as a young adult, you gotta trust him. You can't live off your parents' trust. Pastor's trust will only take you so far. You have to trust him. The righteous have to trust him. Trust, I got to have confidence in my God. I got to hope in my God. I got to make God my refuge. I got to be to the point to where he knows I'm depending on him. Because it's easy sometimes to depend on other things or yourself. No, you can't depend on yourself if you need deliverance, because you and I, we are limited. It's only so much that we can do. With men, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And some of us have been guilty of trying to trust ourselves. Trust your parents or other people. No. The Bible says trust the Lord with all of your heart. I got to have confidence in my God. If I'm going to be made free, as an example, of pornography, I got to trust the Lord. If I'm going to be made free, as an example, of being perverted, I got to trust God. Because some young people get a perverted spirit on them. All they do is think about sexual things, and then they try to find someone they can get to participate with them. No, you're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to trust God, Lord. You're going to have to help me not to act like this. Because, see, the hospital's got classes you can take. They got pills you can take. But it's not guaranteed deliverance. But when we trust God, young people, God will deliver us. I got to make him my refuge. Bottom line, I got to walk by faith. Are y'all understanding? The psalmist, I love this verse, had proof now that trusting the Lord worked. He had proof. And the proof came from him looking at his fathers. He said, man, my fathers trusted you and you delivered them. He had proof. Young folk, you need to have proof that God can deliver. You need to have proof that God can deliver. You need to have proof in the Bible, but you also need to have living proof. Yeah. That's why when God sends testimonies and he allow people of God to get up to testify, that's your opportunity to get your proof right there. He did it for Minister Thomason. He'll do it for me. Oh, he did it for brother so-and-so. He'll do it for me. You got to have proof. And some of us, sad to say, God be sending for living examples, but you don't be paying attention. You don't make a mental note. You just let it go in one ear and out the other. You are not taking this thing serious. The psalmist looked to his fathers, but who are you looking to? Who are you looking to? Are you looking to some sinner on the internet? Some celebrity that you don't even know? Some athlete that don't even know you? Who does that? Who does that and calls themselves a Christian? Now, you won't listen to the saints in the church, but you'll listen to a sinner that you don't even know. And your idol will get locked up. Locked up. And you still believe their testimony. I'm going to tell you how some young folk and grown folk be on that dumb stuff. These sinners can get locked up in jail and they still be like free so-and-so. But they in jail for sin. In jail for doing wrong. Why are you looking to them? Why are you looking to them? Look to somebody that's righteous. In the Bible and those that you're surrounded by. That's what the Bible said. We are surrounded, young folk, by a great cloud of witnesses. Can I talk about those that I know? You got to look around. And when you hear people like Pierre give testimonies, how he tried the world but just didn't fit. He tried it. He got up here and testified about how he tried some things and it just did not fit. He testified about how he was coming to church. He wasn't understanding everything, but he kept on coming. He kept on receiving. And look at how God turned his life around. Ooh, you need to grab that and say, I got that testimony. If he did it for Brother Pierre, he'll do it for me. And then you just look a little bit closer at his life. We know he's not a perfect man, right? But how many know righteous folk are not perfect? Yeah, you ain't going to see perfection when you look at righteous folk. But you're going to see a righteous person striving to do the will of God. Man, I just done seen God. I can talk about his testimony. I just seen how God just raising him up. Man, we got to go on a little trip this week, and I'm just riding with him in his Lexus. I'm about like, look at the Lord. Got to go by the neighborhood and see us how y'all should have seen him out there cutting the grass. Just cutting the grass at the house that the Lord blessed him with. Ooh, that's a witness right there. If he trusted God, God delivered him, he'll do the same thing for Baker. Oh, man, can we talk about Minister Akilah again and that strong testimony she had? When God allows a testimony like that to come to pass, you got to be like, he did it for her. He going to do it for me. Have you ever heard Elder Leak's testimony about how he used to be a drunk, him and his wife? Minister Sarita, what? On that yak, can you believe it? But you can look at their life now and they don't even look like they used to be into that kind of thing. Deliverance. You gotta have some proof, young folk. You gotta have some proof. Look at somebody say, you gotta have some proof. Yeah. Not just people around you, but even in the scripture. Because both, when they trusted God, God did what? He delivered them. He delivered them. Boy, that's some good news right there. We ought to give God a hand clap for the testimonies we have around us and in the scripture. So whatever you're dealing with, young person, I want you to know, you got proof that if it happened for them, it's going to happen for you. I used to be worried about some things in life, but God delivered me. Yeah. I didn't have it all together, but God helped me. If he did it for Pastor, he'll do it for you. You just got to trust him. You got to hear that word and put it into action. Y'all still with me, young folk? All right. So as we get ready to hit this corner, I need to teach some truths about trusting the Lord for deliverance, because that's what we're dealing with. Trusting the Lord for our deliverance. Don't try to do it on your own. No, we got to trust who? We got to trust the Lord. Matter of fact, let me just take a quick poll. How many have ever tried to do stuff on their own? Just be honest. Yeah. Now I want y'all to look around now. I don't want you to just raise your hand. Look around. And let me look around, because I might ask you to talk about it at the end of service. But yeah, many, if not all of us, have trusted in ourselves. And it don't work. It don't work. Or it may work for a little while, but we limit it. Okay, let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 28. And I want to look at just a few truths about trusting the Lord for deliverance that you need to know, understand, and build your life around. And then we're going to be done. Y'all learn? All right, Proverbs 28, 26. Because I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, I just don't like to see when God's folk are in bondage or living beneath their privilege, depressed and so forth. You don't have to be that way unless you just want to be. We just got to trust God so he can deliver us, right? All right, let's look at Proverbs 28 and 26. I'm going to read it, then y'all read it. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. MSW, let's read it. He who finishes but whoever finishes. First truth, fools trust their own heart. Fools trust their own heart. Now, most of us just had our hand up and readily admitted that we have trusted in ourselves. When we raised our hands, we were admitting that we was being fools. Yeah. When you and I trust our own intellect, our own feelings, our own thoughts, opinions, and beliefs, that's that dumb stuff. That's foolishness. I didn't get too much help on that one, because I'm probably talking about many of us, but it's just the truth. Many of us have played the fool before. Can't even blame the devil. We was just stupid. That's what a fool is, stupid, right? A fool, young people, according to Psalm 14 and 1, says in their heart that there is no God. See, when we act like a fool, we basically saying, God can't help us. God can't deliver me. God can't direct me. I need to do this on my own. I just got to do what I got to do. See, that's a fool talking. You need to be able to realize when you're acting like a fool. And you need to be able to recognize when a fool is talking to you. Yeah, you need to recognize when you acting the fool, and you need to recognize when you hearing a fool. Because if you're not, a fool can hinder you from obeying the truth. Girl, I think you need to do it. You need to be like, that's some fool talk. That's what Job did when Job wife got to saying, you need to curse God and die. He said, you've been hanging with them foolish women. That's a fool talking. Look at somebody and say, you got to know fool talk. Yeah. And either you check the fool or you ignore the fool. It just depends on however the Holy Spirit directs you. Because sometimes you can check a fool, and a fool love listening to their own words. They don't want to hear it. Sometimes you just need to leave them, leave them alone. But whatever the situation requires, young folk, that's what we need to do. And if you acting the fool, you got to learn how to put your flesh or your body under subject. Man, I don't need to do that. I'll be playing the fool. And I don't need to be a sucker. I don't need to play a fool. See, why do y'all fall back when I talk about yourself? Why do y'all just get out the car? Why y'all get out the car? Come on, talk to yourself. Say, I don't need to play the fool to myself. Yeah. Come on, be like, why you do that? I don't know. Just go ahead and be honest, because I was a fool. just admit it. Why you do that? Why did you go there? You know that. I know. I was such a fool. Just admit it. Talk about yourself. Fools trust in their own what? But then he flips it. But whoever walks what? Wisely will be. So what does it mean to walk wisely? When you and I walk wisely, we are walking according to knowledge and understanding. See, wisdom comes from God's mouth. That's what the Bible says. Wisdom comes from God's mouth. God's mouthpiece here on earth is his prophets. And so when you come to church and you get wise counsel or knowledge and understanding from the shepherd, and you do that, you're going to be delivered. But if you come to church and you leave doing that dumb stuff somebody told you to do, or you came up in your own imagination, you're a fool. Especially when knowledge and understanding is coming forth in God's house. And sad to say, every week you got people leaving God's house either walking wisely or walking like a fool because they did not receive wisdom. What type of young woman are you going to be? What type of young woman are you going to be? Are you going to have trouble, fears, and strong enemies outside this church, leave here, and do dumb stuff? Or are you going to walk wisely? And I can't get no answer from the young sisters. Let's try the brothers. What type of brother are you going to be? Are you going to be a fool or are you going to walk wisely? I got four brothers. One over there, one back there, and I think one right here. That's three. So we got the rest of y'all. I need to hear. I'm asking y'all a question. What type of person are you going to be, a fool or are you going to walk wisely? Let me hear your answer. Wise. And everybody that didn't give an answer, I mean, you're telling on yourself. But if you're going to walk wisely, you have the mindset that when knowledge and understanding comes forth, that's what I'm going to put into action. And when I do that, when I bump into trouble, when I bump into something that tries to make me fear, or when I bump into a strong enemy, I'm going to be what? Delivered. I'm going to be what? Delivered. Delivered. Look at the verse. But whoever walks wisely will be what? Delivered. So if I do the word, I'm going to be what? Delivered. There you go. There you go. So yeah, again, you got to ask yourself, how are you going to be walking? Are you going to be a wise walker or a fool? Wise walkers get delivered. Yeah. I want to be and stay delivered. What about you? Yeah. Let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. 19. This need to be a verse you show enough know if you go to refuge. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, now it's something you know. But the Lord delivers him or her out of them all. Yeah. The Lord delivers the righteous from all afflictions. Afflictions, adversities. And sometimes in life, young people, you're going to be surrounded by adversity. You see the picture? You see the man on the island with the sharks? That's how life is sometimes. You're surrounded by sharks. You got adversity. But when you're righteous, the Lord will deliver you out of them, out of them all. You got people right now, they're going through affliction in their body. Right now. Stuff going on in their body that they don't even know what's going on. They just know something don't feel right. You need to be knowing, despite what you're feeling, hey, the Lord's still going to deliver me out of this. The Lord's going to deliver me out of this. If the Lord leads you to go to the doctor and the doctor give you a report, whether it's a positive or a negative report, you still got the mindset, I'm righteous, and the Lord is going to deliver me. When you pray for a job, pray for a career, and it finally happened, even when you get on that job or start that career path, you're going to have adversity. It's going to be some sharks, some snakes, some scorpions, all that going to be there. But you got to have the mindset, I'm righteous. And no matter what I go through, he done promised that he would deliver me. You may cry. But just cry for a moment. That's what the Bible says. Weeping may endure for a night. But what? Joy comes in the morning. How many ever had some adversity that make you cry? Let me talk to the brother. Where are the brothers in here? Any young men in here ever went through something that made you cry? I hear Elder. And I see Brother Mike. The rest of y'all keep on living. Boy, there are some adversities in life have you looking ugly. Woo, snotting, tears and everything. Where the sisters at in here? You ever have some adversity that make you cry? They ain't holding back. Yes. You know, them girls emotional. They're like, my head hurt. We talking about some real stuff. Bigger than them cramps. You ever had some adversity? Naturally speaking, you just be looking and you just eyes red. You going through. Makeup can't hide that pain. Yeah. It happens sometimes. Excuse me. It happens sometimes. But it should only be for a moment. Only for a moment. Especially as you mature. Lord have mercy. I say especially as you mature. You just come to expect and realize part of being righteous is affliction. Part of being righteous is being afflicted. I never forget something that was said to me years ago. And I received it, but I really didn't understand the fullness of it. I had Bishop tell me, he said, man, I'm going to tell you something, Baker. He said, when God really start blessing you, that's when you're going to start going through. He said, when God really start blessing you, you're going to really start experiencing some things. And man, that thing was right. You try to do folk right, and then folk just. But we human. And if we be true, sometimes it hurt. It hurt. But ain't no need of crying over that. That's just part of being righteous. I think back to the scripture. And I think about how Jesus went about doing good, but these folk killed him. Dead. Killed him. That's part of being righteous. But our mindset, young folks, should be whatever we go through in our money, relationships, with other church folk, God gonna deliver us. Look at somebody say, many are the afflictions. Come on and participate. Say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but my God. Come on and preach. It's going to say, my God shall deliver me. See, this first row, y'all too cute. Say, look and say, many are the afflictions. No, don't look at me. Look at a neighbor. Say, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Say, but my God. That's the cute row right there. You say, no, Pastor Baker. Yeah, God will deliver the righteous from adversity. Last one. Last truth, and we out of here. John 8. This is another verse. You will hear dripping from the mouth of the preachers of a place of refuge. John 8. Y'all didn't preach that right to your neighbor. Y'all didn't preach it right. Y'all know how to preach it? I'm going to give y'all one more chance. John 8 and 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed, who?
Him.
If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. 32. And you shall know the truth. Oh, it's good to you. And the truth shall make you, the truth delivers. But we got to abide in the word. Abiding in the word, young people, that's what causes deliverance. That's what causes us to be made free. Abiding, continuing, meditating, thinking about the word, doing the word. These are all synonyms to abiding. When we abide in that word, deliverance is going to happen. The problem is some of us like to abide on our problems. That's what you meditate on. That's what you focus on. That's what you ponder. Oh, how is this going to turn out? No, you need to be knowing how it's going to turn out. Abide in the word. Abide in the word as a young person. When the flesh wants you to watch that porn, I'm going to stay, keep my mind on the word. I'm going to keep my mind on the word. When your body wants you to do something that's out the will of God, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to stay in the word. See, this has got to be a lifestyle, young folk. It just can't be something that you do when you come to church. This has got to be your life. When your so-called favorite artist come out with a new CD and you know that that ain't something that God is pleased with, you got to tell it, no, we don't listen to that no more. No, we don't listen to that no more. I'm going to guard my ears. No, I'm staying in the word. No, I'm not downloading it. I'm not watching the video. I'm not going to thumbs up and like it. I'm not going to put no heart by it. I'm not going to repost it. I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm going to abide in the word. See, that's when you get total deliverance. But see, if you still play with sin, you ain't delivered. You ain't delivered. When you stop messing with stuff you know God told you to leave alone, that's when you deliver. You deliver. You free. It ain't got a hold on you. But when you keep texting him or her back, you ain't delivered from them. You still dibbling and dabbling. You still playing around. Well, maybe he done changed. No, he ain't changed. He ain't changed. She ain't changed. They just got a different game. No, be free. Let that person know you ain't got a hold on me. I'm going to be free. I'm not going to return that call just because you want me to return the call. I'm not going to meet you at the mall. I ain't doing that. I'm free. I love you, but I'm free. That's how you have to be in life, young folk. You don't play with stuff. You don't play with stuff. You kill it. God told Saul to kill everything, but he didn't want to kill everything. He wanted to hang on to some stuff. Saul wasn't free of people. He wanted to just do what people wanted him to do. So you have to learn to abide in the word. Am I helping anyone this morning? Yeah, you just don't play. Jesus said it like that. This is cold-blooded. Jesus said it just like that. Either let your yes be yes and your no be no. Bottom line, Jesus was like, don't play. Just come on. Don't play. Either you all in or you ain't. Tom and Jerry said, is you is or is you ain't. That's what Tom and Jerry said. So bottom line, same thing. Abide in the word. That's when you're going to be free. That's when you're going to be free. When you just continue in that word. But if you keep playing with stuff, you ain't free. You ain't free. We have to lay aside weight and sin. Then look to Jesus. Don't lay it down and then go back and pick it. Pick it up. No, lay it down and then look to Jesus. Now, if you mess around and go back and pick, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have picked it up. I was weak. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me, Lord. That's what you do. But don't go back, pick it up, and continue in it. Y'all with me? Because how many know sometimes we do lay stuff down, but we do go back and pick it up. Yeah, we ain't perfect. We do mess up. All I'm saying is don't go back and pick it up and continue. You done backslid it. But if you go back and pick it up, oh, Lord, I shouldn't have picked that. Put it down real quick. Put it back down. And then look to Jesus. Because you know what will happen? You'll start to realize looking to Jesus is better than picking certain things back up. Because these things that we lay down, the Bible says they easily beset us. They get us off track. God talking to somebody. See, you want to be free, but you keep going back, picking things up. You got to leave it. Bury it. How many of us bury loved ones and then go back and dig them up? We don't do that. Once we bury them, that's it. And that's how we have to do things that are weight and sin. You bury it. Leave it alone and continue abiding in the word. This that holiness preaching right there. This that holiness sanctification preaching right there. How many are receiving it? When we walk in it, young folk, we are delivered. We are delivered faith walkers. Y'all got it? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the lesson on this morning.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.